We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'd like to welcome a good friend of mine from the sunny state of Arizona. I love going out there. I love spring training. And I think I'm going to sneak out there just for a game this year. Got a couple of things going on out there in November, and I may have to be there. Jess Rude, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great, and I appreciate you getting up at a very early hour to talk to us, because it's early in Arizona, much earlier than it is in New York or D.C. or wherever. Big weekend. It's Hall of Fame weekend. There's actually a football game on later today. I doubt it'll be much of a game because I doubt anybody's really ready to show anything off. But generally speaking, in Canton, Ohio, every year, there's some really famous people that go in to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and there's an Arizona Diamondback going in this year. Tell us a little bit about Aeneas Williams, and share with us a little bit, Jess, about what you saw as a player.
Well, Aeneas Williams is one of the more understated players, as good as he was. You could make the argument, and I grew up watching him, you can make the argument that is as good as Deion Sanders was, Aeneas Williams, statistically, and the way he played, was every bit as good as Deion Sanders playing cornerback and covering guys. In his speech last night, he played under you know, Buddy Ryan. He played, and his defense is rather aggressive, and he would put his cornerbacks out on an island, and he made a shout out to Revis Island in his speech. He said, "Much love to Revis Island, but Aeneas Williams was first. Aeneas Island was first. He was a class act. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and he languished for years in Arizona during those very, very lean, terrible football years. Did get a playoff win in 1998 with the Cardinals, and then deservedly got himself a ring at the end of his career in St. Louis with the Rams, and Kurt Warner was throwing the ball all over the place there. But he was fantastic to watch. And if you weren't around, and if you weren't a hardcore football fan, you would have missed the fact that one of the best cornerbacks that we've ever seen was, you know, was locking people up here in Arizona.
Yeah, we're talking to Jess Root, who writes Revenge of the Birds every week. Correct, Jess? And where can people read that?
It's at revengeofthebirds.com. It's the Arizona Cardinals site in our SB Nation network of blogs. SB Nation, pretty prominent. But the revengeofthebirds.com is the Cardinals site.
Now, last year, you know, I was, and of course, during the season, I don't make a living doing it, but I help out in the house by having this show. My wife is the breadwinner in my family. She's phenomenal and young, and I hope she keeps working for the rest of her life till I get syndicated, at least. But the thing of it is that I was big on the Arizona Cardinals last year. I really like your head coach. Bruce Arians, in my opinion, was the reason the Indianapolis Colts made such a fast jump, you know, to the top of the Central Division of the AFC. Oh, AFC South, my bad. And, well, it sounds like, you know, I'm getting my baseball mixed up with my football, Jess. I apologize. I did that with the D-backs right earlier. So you think it's early there. Imagine what it's like for me. But anyway, to make a long story short, the Cardinals are contenders. And I think everybody in pro football that either writes about it or is on television or whatever, they're paying close attention to the training camp of the Cardinals, because, you know, they want to see what they've got. And when these preseason games start to be played, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on the Cardinals, because as everybody knows, the preseason favorite is and will be the Seattle Seahawks, obviously, because, you know, they made it look so easy running through the league last year and didn't really surprise anybody, but they've made some changes. And, you know, they got some people that aren't happy with their contracts, and anything can happen. You know it, and I know it. And the thing about the Cardinals right now in my opinion, is they're fairly healthy. You've got a couple of guys that are going to be back soon. Let's talk about the injuries right now, Jess. What are you looking at?
Well, we had the Cardinals had two players had suffered really bad knee injury that's in the last season. Rookie sensation Tyrann Mathieu tore his ACL and his LCL. But he is ahead of schedule right now. He is targeting being ready to play in week one. October seems to be more of a, like coming out off the bye week in week three. Week four, that is, seems to be a more reasonable time. Nose tackle Adamaita Tamu, who split time with Dan Williams. I mean, they were super important in that number one rush defense last year. He tore his ACL in the last week of the season.
Right.
And he wants to play week one. We'll see. He's hoping to get back in the second game of the preseason to be able to get some game action. It would seem more logical that he would start the season on PUP, miss the first 6 weeks of the year. And then right now, a minor injury, starting center Lyle Sendlein, he's got a calf injury, but it won't put him out anymore in a couple, 3 weeks of the preseason.
Now, in your opinion, what is the biggest thing that the Cardinals have to deal with in taking that next jump to where they are? And they've already proven they can play with the Seahawks, because if I'm not mistaken, they beat them once last year. Is that correct?
They beat them at home. That's the only team to beat Seattle in Seattle for the last 2 years.
Well, whatever they're doing by ramping up the noise, it seems to work for them because they don't seem to be able to have to hear anything. They must do a lot of their signals, obviously, by hand. But that defense is a very good defense. Talk a little bit about the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals and the changes that you've seen him make and how they are able to compete with some of the best teams in football.
Well, Todd Bowles is an interesting case, because when Ken Whisenhunt left, there was a lot of hope that Ray Horton would get this with head coaching job. And when Arians was hired, Horton was let go to bring in Bowles, and there were a lot of questions coming into last year about how Bowles would do, and that defense improved. I mean, it was a really good defense in 2011. The rush defense was struggled, but they went from 28th, I think, in 2011, rather than 2012, that is, to number one. And they weren't quite as good against the pass, as some issues against tight ends, but overall they were sixth best defense in yardage, seventh best in scoring. They were dominant, and Todd Bowles is a big reason why. Now they had talent, but his ability to scheme and the talent he had to be able to put together a game plan and to change things, his personnel change, to put them in situations where they can make plays and to keep them out of situations where they are weaker. And that was one of the things that perhaps Ray Horton could be criticized, is he had his scheme and he needed his players to fit to it. And there's a lot of coaches that do that, but Bowles will adjust things so that his players are not put in situations that they are not as strong in. And if he can do that again in this year, especially losing their middle line, their inside linebackers, Sarah Washington to suspension, Carlos Dansby in free agency, he probably won't be in town anymore because he'll be hitting a head coaching gig.
You know, a lot of people thought that he might get a little bit more attention than he got. He did, you know, because he's African-American, obviously he interviews all the time because they've got the Rooney Rule in the NFL where, you have to interview a minority candidate. And everybody jumps on that because they don't want to screw it up. But Todd Bowles was a really good free safety when he was with the Washington Redskins. And, you know, I was a big fan of his because he didn't get a lot of acclaim, very similar to the way he is now as a coach. He's not a real crazy kind of wild guy. He kind of stays to himself a little bit. He's really as cerebral as he can be. I'm looking at your roster right now. You got a future Hall of Famer on offense at Larry Fitzgerald. You got Ted Ginn, who can make anything happen anytime. You know, you've got some really, really good players. Carson Palmer seems to be getting better in this offense. Am I crazy, or is this going to be maybe his best year ever if he stays healthy?
Well, he's had a history of improving in year two. And last year, he the first half of the season, he struggled with turnovers, whether it was his fault making the wrong read, throwing the ball to the wrong spot. But a lot of it had to do about the other players, too, who weren't in the wrong spot either. In the second half, you saw what the potential could be. They averaged over 26 points a game over the last nine. and they've added offensive talent and improved the offensive line, and Carson Palmer is more comfortable in the offensive system. So there is a lot of optimism that Carson, that they're not going to confuse him with Kurt Warner per se, who already had Hall of Fame-like credentials, but that same type of production where he's in the upper 20s, maybe lower 30s in touchdowns, cutting those turnovers down into the middle teens, and throwing it up for another more than 4,000 yards. He threw for a career high over 4,200 yards last year.
You know, I'm just sitting here looking. Tyrann Mathieu, we talked about the Honey Badger and him coming back. And for a lot of people don't know this, he was actually going out with Todd Bowles' daughter for a while. I don't know if they're still dating. That's
ridiculous. Yeah, that was true.
You know he's not doing drugs because he wouldn't be dating a coach's daughter if he was. Darrell Washington, did he get suspended?
He was suspended for the year, for at least a year. He had another substance abuse. He says it was a positive on for weed, but he failed the team again. I mean, he came into the league. He was already in the program. He missed two tests. He failed some tests, and now he's out for the year. We don't know what the future holds for him in terms of the team.
You know, you picked up Larry Foote. Now, was he on the team last year? It seems like he might have been late. Did you sign him as a free agent in the offseason?
He was a free agent. He's been connected to the team, I think, in like two other off seasons. One, he went back to Pittsburgh, and
yeah.
Another, he was in Detroit. He missed all last year except for like the first three quarters of one game, and he tore his biceps. And was done for the year. He's back. He's healthy, and right now he's a start. He's a three-down linebacker as of right now.
He's gonna help you out because I'm telling you, in Pittsburgh, they kept looking for people they could replace him with, and after camp was over, those guys were all long gone every year. I'm surprised. I'm pretty sure that Pittsburgh made him an offer again, but you guys evidently upped that. I remember reading an article on that. We got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about the schedule. I'm looking at their schedule. I got them going 11-5. I mean, I think that they have a great opportunity to at least make it as a wild card. But, you know, probably they're not going to be doing anything from a standpoint of, it's hard to say they're going to lock this division up with Seattle in it. Do you agree?
I think it's possible. Yeah, I think that it's really hard to say that they're going to be able to win the division when you've got San Francisco and Seattle both. I mean, all three of those teams are going to, it's going to be a dogfight. It'll come down to the divisional games. But 11 wins is definitely there. I haven't pegged a win total. But I've got them between their win range would be between, they could have an 8-8 year and the things could go wrong. Between 8 and 12 wins would be my win window.
Right. We're talking to Jess Root, Revenge of the Birds, one of my favorite people out west. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. He covers the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals are going to be there in the playoffs this year, no question about it. Give me a record. What do you think their record's going to be after 16 regular season games, Jess?
I think maybe the safest bet is to put it at a 10-6 like they did last year. I've heard the optimism from other people. It's hard. I mean, it's very, very possible they have another 10-6 year and still come in third in the division and miss the playoffs. I'm going to peg it at 10 and the get in, though.
No, I totally agree with you. Jess, I got to thank you so much for being on. Also, you can follow Jess on Twitter at Senor, S-E-N-O-R, Jess, J-E-S-S, Root, R-O-O-T. Is that correct, Jess?
That is correct.
I love you. That's how I talk to you. Jess Root, everybody. Revenge of the Birds, my favorite beat writer out west in Arizona. Jess, good luck to you. And I'm so sorry about the D-backs. Boy, they look horrible.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy. Jess Root, everybody. We'll be back in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more on News Talk 1230 WFAS.